And now, Virgin Most Powerful Radio is pleased to present Hands-On Apologetics with renowned Catholic author and apologist, Gary Machuda.
And welcome, everybody, Hands-On Apologetics. I'm Gary Machuda. You have entered into the Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo, and it's time for apologetics. Love it. My favorite time of the day. And just want to welcome everybody coming in. And yes, we are transmitting live from the Midwest Command Center here in Southeast Michigan through the Virgin Most Powerful Radio Network onto the world. And we got a great show in store for you today. We're going to have our guest, Catholic Brian's going to join us. Coming back to Dojo, Brian Mercer, Catholic apologist, evangelist, does a lot of work with youth groups and just lots of good stuff. We're going to be talking about the top 10 do's and don'ts about evangelism. You know, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. The right way will open people's hearts. The wrong way, you can actually push people further away from Christ. So I can't wait to chat with Catholic Brian and find out exactly where we and how we should share and explain our faith. Good stuff. Also, coming up next, we're going to do the Finding the Fallacy in Meet the Early Church Father. And we are going way back to the beginning. We're going to talk about Finding the Fallacy. We're going to talk about Begging the Question, which, by the way, I'll share with you one of my favorite. I shouldn't say favorite. That wouldn't make sense. One of my pet peeves when it comes to Begging the Question. And also the Meet the Early Church Father. Today we are going to talk about Pope St. Clement of Rome. Pope St. Clement of Rome. Fascinating early church father and a very important early church father for Catholic apologetics. And that's to help us train to explain, defend the faith with clarity, charity, and confidence. Right? All right. And you are also part of the program. So if you would, give us a call. Maybe you have a question for Catholic Brian when he comes on the show. Give us a call at 888-526-2151. That's toll free, 888-526-2151. Or you can always email your questions to questions@handsonapologetics.com. Questions@handsonapologetics.com comes directly to me, and I do answer them. And by the way, we have some fantastic emails that have come over the last couple of days. Maybe I'll answer them on the air. I'll have to get their permission, but good stuff coming in the Dojo mailbox, and it's always good to hear from you. So maybe you don't want to come on the air, but you do have a situation on your hands. Maybe you're trying to explain or defend the faith. You're not really sure how to go about it. Maybe you've run into a impasse. Maybe there's a member of your family that you've been trying to reopen the discussion. Maybe sometime in the past, it just got really heated and that person doesn't want to talk about religion anymore with you. And you'd like some ideas about how to reopen that discussion. Never know. Just shoot us an email. I'd love to hear from you. And who knows, maybe we'll dedicate a show towards that topic. It's time also now for our shout-outs to those watching live stream on Facebook and YouTube. Hello, everybody. Take a glance at the social media section of the Dojo. It's great to see familiar names. Yes. Yeah, well, welcome aboard, folks. Yeah, that was a great show, wasn't it? Ah, there we go. I was waiting for the emoji explosion. Thank you, Beth. I appreciate it. All right. Good morning to you as well. And also good morning and good afternoon to those listening via radio and podcast. And I should also note, I do this every program because for me, I'm always listening to podcasts. I try to fill my day if I'm doing busy work or things that are just mundane. I always am listening to new material. If I'm not reading, I'm listening. And I love listening to podcast material. And so perhaps you missed part of a program or there's a guest that you wanted to hear. Not only on Hands-On Apologetics, but Jesus 911, Terry and Jesse, and all the other great shows Virgin Most Powerful produces. Just zip to our website, which is virginmostpowerfulradio.org, and go to our shows, select the show you want, and bang, right there are all the shows in podcast form. And the cool thing about it, folks, is that this can also help you evangelize. So please share it. Let people know about us. Share the good stuff with others. And this is a great way to start conversations. So without further ado, why don't we jump into discussing our finding of the fallacy for today? Like I said, it is the begging of the question. Now, what is begging the question? Well, it's not right for you to use a conclusion as part of your evidence for that conclusion. You can't, for example, assume that the Bible's inspired and then use that fact that the Bible's inspired to prove the Bible's inspiration. This is a classic example of what's called begging the question. When you assume the truth of a conclusion and then use that assumption as part of the evidence for the conclusion, it goes around and around in circles. So there's all sorts of ways begging the questions happen. And I always notice when it occurs because intellectually you kind of get dizzy because you're trying to follow someone's argument and it just seems like it loops around over and over again. So that's begging the question. And so I since I put a little teaser out, by the way, this is one of my pet peeves, and you see it a lot on television, on movies, even on radio you hear it, where people misuse this, and they'll say, well, that begs the question, and then what they mean is that it begs us to ask the question, and then they'll say, what is the murderer, who is the murderer, or something like that, right? Begging the question is a fallacy. It's a form of circular argument. When it's different from begging the question to be asked, that's entirely different. And I hate that because, well, you're begging the question, who is the murderer? Well, no. That's not the logical fallacy. Say you're begging to ask the question, or have the question answered. So anyway, okay. So I vented. The sensei now has vented. He's come back to his senses. So, just one of those logical pet peeves. When people misunderstand the Immaculate Conception as the conception of Jesus and Mary's womb, that's another one that's, that one gets a little irritating because it's like they throw it out like the Immaculate Conception refers to the virgin birth. Again, you hear that in movies, TV, radio, and it's like, oh, you need to go to the catechism. Anyway, let's jump to our Meet the Early Church Fathers segment. And the Early Church Father for today is Pope St. Clement I of Rome. He flourished roughly around AD 80, try saying that three times quick, or perhaps 92, 110, or 101. Who is Pope St. Clement of Rome? Well, there's a slight discrepancy in the different papal list of successions. All lists have Linus as the successor to Peter. Okay, so they're all in agreement who the first pope is, if you count Linus to be the successor to be the first successor, or the second pope if you count Peter as the first pope. But there's also some discrepancy in regards to the second and third successor of St. Peter. It's either Cletus or Anacletus or Clement. So Clement is possibly the second or third pope after St. Peter. So he's very, very early church father. In fact, he's part of a collection known as the Apostolic Fathers because this is during apostolic times. He knew the apostles. He might also be the Clement who's mentioned by St. Paul in the Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4, verse 3, where he mentions Clement and his other co-workers. Some of the early church fathers believe that was in reference to who later became Pope St. Clement of Rome. But there's no direct evidence for it, but it is a possibility. Another difficulty, too, is that the dating. We have one extant writing from Pope St. Clement. It's an authentic writing, and it's a letter that he wrote to the church in Corinth. Now, there's another bone of contention is when did he write this letter? Well, it all depends on dating. It all depends on dating. Now, the traditional dates given for Clement's pontificate is AD 92 to AD 101. Okay. So if those dates are solid And according to Juergens, those dates really aren't very solid. Scholars don't really hold a lot of credence to that dating. Then that means that the letter to the Corinthians, or also known as First Clement, was written between AD 92 and AD 101. Makes sense, right? But a lot of good work has come out in recent years to suggest that actually First Clement, or the letter to Corinthians, was written actually a bit earlier, perhaps around year AD 80. Okay. And Juergens has a really nice, you know, this is Juergens, Faith of the Early Fathers. We use that on the show for our segment here. And he points out that there seems to be internal evidence to suggest this. One is that he mentions that his delay, he apologizes to the church in Corinth for the delay because of some sudden and repeated calamities and misfortunes that have befallen us. Now, if it's the later dating, the 92 to 101 dating, this could be a reference to the persecution under Domitian. However, that one's a little sketchy. If you take an earlier date, like around AD 80, guess what? It also corresponds to the eruption of Mount Vesuvius outside of Naples in 79 AD, which occasioned a great fire even in the city as far away as Rome. So that's interesting. Also, in the 24th chapter of the letter, he mentions two individuals who appear to have been freed slaves under the Emperor Claudius, which would be who died roughly around AD 54. So again, this suggests a very early writing. And that is our early church father for today, Pope St. Clement I. Coming up on the other side of the break, we're going to have Catholic Brian come on, Brian Mercer, talk about evangelism.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Gary.
Welcome back, everybody, to Hands-On Apologetics. Well, how should we evangelize? Is there a right way and a wrong way to evangelize? Are there the don'ts? Do not ever do this, or perhaps you always should do something? Well, to help us walk through 10 ways of things you should and shouldn't do while you evangelize is Master Apologist Brian Mercer. Brian Mercer is a professional Catholic speaker, a retreat leader, author, and also a Catholic apologist himself. He has spoken to countless teens and adults for over 20 years through confirmation retreats, parish missions, keynote talks, Catholic school retreats, seminars, workshops, and such. He's appeared on Catholic radio, television, and Brian, welcome to Hands-On Apologetics.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, it's been a little while this is your return appearance. Would you mind really quickly maybe just giving us a thumbnail sketch of your journey of faith?
Sure, I would love to. I generally grew up in a Catholic family, went to church every Sunday, and I ended up taking a detour down a dark path where I dressed in black, carried weapons, wanted to hurt people. I was very angry, very depressed, and sometimes very volatile. And my mother was very concerned about me, and so she sent me out to a Catholic college, Franciscan University, one of the best Catholic colleges in America. And it worked because it got some Jesus in me, and I ended up having a huge, profound, powerful conversion out there. And Jesus literally took out all of my hate, and he replaced it with a great, overflowing love for everyone. He took out all my sadness, all my pain, and he basically just healed me, and he transformed me from the inside out. And from then on, I have just wanted to heal people the way he's healed me. I've wanted to help people the way he's helped me, and I've wanted to transform other people's lives the way he's transformed my life. And honestly, he's filled me with so much joy and happiness, I can't help but overflow with that and want to give that to others.
Yeah, well, thanks be to God. That's awesome. Yeah, so not only were you evangelized, but you've, over 20 years, you've helped evangelize others. Do you remember, you know, back before your life in Christ really became a flame, did people try to evangelize you?
Before my conversion?
Yeah.
A little bit. Some of my Protestant friends would kind of try to evangelize me. Sometimes we had Jehovah's Witnesses come to the door, but it was like nothing major. I know I was proselytized a couple times lightly by my Protestant friends' parents who would question my Catholic faith and see if they could get me to think in a different way. But thankfully, you know, my mom had raised me a pretty strong Catholic. And I knew a little bit about my faith, but it wasn't until Franciscan University when I was praying in front of an abortion mill that I really got challenged in my faith and ended up running screaming into the night because I couldn't explain it or defend it.
Wow. Yeah. So I just, was thinking, I know with me, when I think back before I got into apologetics, of different attempts people tried to pull me out of the church and evangelize me. And I have to say, a lot of times it was more of a put off than something that attracted me. I was a solid Catholic. I just like you, I grew up in a Catholic home. But there is a right way and a wrong way to try to evangelize people, isn't there?
Absolutely. And I have had it done right to me, and I've had people do it the wrong way most times. And yeah, I can honestly say I've done it wrong many times, and especially in my early days, I kind of learned by trial and error. And I probably, like you just said, turned many people away. I turned many people off from the faith because I had the passion, but I didn't know how to use it, and I didn't know how to do it in the right way. And so I probably hurt a lot of people and probably smashed them over the head with a spiritual sledgehammer rather than giving them the love of Jesus.
Yeah, that exactly. I have the same crash and burn stories too, but you know, I learned from them, you know, then I learned, okay, don't do that. So yeah, let's go through. There's 10 do's and don'ts about evangelism. Let's go through some of the don'ts.
Okay. Before we do, if you wouldn't mind me saying, just kind of throwing in here, that I feel like it's important that everybody listening to this show needs to realize that every single Catholic is called to evangelize in some way and in different ways. For example, you know, not everybody might be called to be an apologist or an evangelist like you and I, but they may be called to answer a question at work or at the park when someone challenges them on their faith or asks them a question about the Catholic Church because they know they're Catholic. In some way, shape, and form, we need to be prepared. And unfortunately, people say, don't talk about politics and religion. Why? Because it always leads to fighting, because people get too emotional. They they hold to their beliefs too strongly, but they haven't really thought about their beliefs. And therefore, when they're challenged, they don't really like that. And so they kind of defensively give back. So I think a lot of the don'ts that we're about to talk about, things not to do ever, as much as you can help it, kind of go along those lines. And the first one that I would say is, anytime you're talking about the faith, just remember that you are representing Jesus Christ. You are a Christian. Therefore, you walk like Jesus. You talk like Jesus. You represent him in everything you say and even in your body actions and the words you speak. So with that being said, think about how Jesus evangelized people. And in this case, he was never prideful. He was never haughty. And he never had a holier-than-thou attitude. These are never from God. So Christians shouldn't be evangelizing like that, looking down on, quote, sinners and people who are lost or heretics. The first thing we need to do is treat people as people and love them and not be judgmental, not be critical, and not kind of like judge. We can judge actions, but we can't judge a person's heart, intentions, or salvation. And very similar to this is, don't get upset. Since we're representing Christ, try not to get angry. Keep composed and never lose your temper. That's something I had to learn personally the hard way. And therefore, you know, I just see it online. I don't know if you notice this, Gary, but online, I've seen a lot of swing toward the traditional Catholic side. But a lot of the traditional Catholics who debate online, I've noticed, are very rude. They're very aggressive. They're very in your face. They won't hesitate to be sassy, sarcastic, to condemn you, and even to insult you and call you an idiot and tell you you're going to hell because you're lost and you're a heretic. And this is everything the opposite of what Jesus Christ did and what Jesus Christ taught us. Have you encountered that yourself?
Yes, sir. Especially with I know it's a big temptation, especially those who know a lot about the faith, to treat people who disagree or don't know kind of dismissively and to not be charitable. So, yeah, absolutely. It's that certainly is a temptation, because we should have self-confidence in our faith and what we know. But we also have to keep in mind, and you know, let me know if you agree with me, that the person you're talking to is probably laboring under some error that they just, no one's ever clarified for. And once you remove that error, then they move one step closer to Christ. So it's really more helping people rather than trying to prove that you're right or prove that they don't know anything, something like that.
Exactly. And I think the biggest thing that's missing here in all of the don'ts is charity and maybe a little humility. But we need charity. If you don't have charity, St. Anthony of Padua said, and he was a master evangelist, he said, if you don't have love and charity, then everything you do is without good. It's no good before God, even if you think some good comes about from it. And I would just lead this into number four, which is, don't be impatient. I think a lot of the times that we get upset and angry and critical and sarcastic is because we try to share the truth with people and they resist. We try to share our Catholic faith and they point out all the errors, or they point out why we're bad, so to speak, or why we're wrong, or problems in the Catholic Church, and they resist. And so we are extremely impatient. I think a lot of times we try to win an argument rather than win a soul. But if we actually care about a soul and we love that soul and we want that soul to come to Christ, we will wait all day, all week, or even all year, spending time with them kindly, gently, trying to show them the truth of Jesus Christ and our faith. And I think we don't realize that it's the job of the Holy Spirit to convert people. And so when they start resisting us, we get angry. We get defensive. We just say, well, I told you the truth and you didn't accept it. So that's your fault. Now you're going to burn.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great point. That's a great point. You're right. I know from my own experience that especially when you start talking to somebody and you get this blowback of anger, you know, where they point out like every bad thing they could possibly think of about the church. Sometimes just listening and absorbing it and, you know, agreeing with what you can, but, you know, pointing out problems. Once that's through, once they've vented, then they're much more open, you know. And if you have continuing discussions with them, before you know it, you start having a really fruitful dialogue. But if you're not patient enough to kind of weather the storm and let them, you know, get rid of all this emotional buildup, that never happens. So you're right. You know, impatience is deadly to evangelism.
And I would just hasten to add here at this point, after mentioning these first four things, that if we have any of these things, pridefulness, criticalness, sassiness, sarcasm, we're impatient, we're condemning, any of these things, they're signs, Gary. They're signs that we need to step back and have a deeper conversion with Christ, because there is anger in our hearts. There's impatience and pride in our hearts. These are sins. These are imperfections. These are things that are not from Christ. And therefore, we're called to have a greater conversion ourselves, because the more we transform ourselves, that'll transform the way we speak to others, and it'll have a greater impact on the way we speak to others. Even recently, sometimes I have hundreds of comments that I can't keep up with on my YouTube channel, and to be honest with them, a lot of them are mean, condemning, and insulting. And when I'm really overtired and I'm just trying to answer comments rather than respond to souls, you know, I just kind of do it nice and callous and cold and respond similar to the way that they responded to me. And I got into a little bit of a habit of that not too long ago. I mean, generally, people compliment me on how gentle I am in the face of people's critiques and how loving I am. And I love that because I want to be. But every once in a while, I get out of that. And I went through about a week of not being so loving and just kind of giving it back to the people. And I said, you know what? I'm too fleshy right now. I need to step back. I don't have Christ's charity in me right now. And for some reason, I've lost that. So I stepped back from that and I started praying more. And I started trying to have more silent prayer in my life, taking more time for silence to listen to the Holy Spirit. And when I came back, it was more loving and more fruitful than ever.
Very good. More to come on the other side of the break, folks. Stay tuned.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith, because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, catholicrc.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Jesse Romero. You're listening to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
And welcome back, everybody. We are talking with Catholic Brian Mercer, about the 10 do's and don'ts in evangelism. And Brian, you know, right before we came up with the break, you know, we're talking about refraining from anger. You know, it's so easy to, especially when someone's very animated and angry, you know, and they're just throwing things at you, not to respond in kind, you know, like Christ. You know, Christ responded with love. And, you know, as you were saying that, I kept thinking about some of the recent pro-life stuff, videos that have come out where people are just horrible, you know, browbeating Christians in front of a abortion mill, and they didn't respond back in kind. They were kind, they're quiet, and they won the sympathy of the audience. Where, you know, if you follow your instincts and you return anger with anger, you lose that.
Exactly. And I think that's the difference between the pro-life march and the pro-choice march. The pro-choice march, people are angry, they're volatile, they'll name call, they'll condemn you, they'll yell at you, they'll come right up to your face and spit at you. But the pro-life people are so gentle, they're so kind, they don't respond in kind. And I think it's it reminds us that we're of Jesus. It shows that we're of Jesus. I mean, Jesus said, if you greet those who greet you, what good is that for you? Even tax collectors and pagans do the same. So if we yell and scream and condemn people just like the pagans do, what good is that? How does that separate us? How does that show people that we're followers of Christ and we're different? And I think it speaks volumes to have a good example and to be a good example of Christ. I know in my own life, the more I was a good example, the more people were attracted to the faith, whether I had good arguments or not.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, it's when you're walking the walk and talking the talk, that is very powerful witness.
Do you want me to finish some of these?
Yeah, well, before we do that, before we go to the next one, do you have any tips on how not to be angry when you start feeling, you know, this anger welling up inside you as this person's being really rude and blasphemous?
Yes, I think that's a trained art. I think it's something that we need to work on over time. But I think the easiest thing is to do it in advance, and that is to realize that most of the people who hate the Catholic Church, or most of the people who hate Catholic teachings, or think that all priests are sexual abusers, and all these people who throw out these things, most of them have been lied to. They've been lied to about the Catholic faith. They've been lied to about what the Catholic Church teaches, what the Catholic Church has done. And many people think the Catholic Church killed millions of people throughout the Middle Ages. Someone told me that the other day, killed millions and millions of people. And I was like, there weren't even that many people alive at the time, you know, at the time he was talking about. But
right.
The thing is, other people are really hurt. They're really angry. They had something happen to them. So when we can realize that the more volatile someone gets, the more hurt they are, or the more misconceptions they have, then we can take our time. We can be patient. Even people in our families, at Thanksgiving, at Christmas, at Easter, you know, they may even get angry about the church or abortion or stuff like that, but there's always a personal reason behind it. There's always a reason why. And I had this one guy yelling at me once, and he was telling me how awful the Catholic Church was, and how they don't do this and how they don't do that. And finally it came out. He said, I'm gay, and therefore the Catholic Church hates gays. And he continued yelling and screaming. And instead of getting upset, I just listened. And at the end of it all, I said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that those people in the Catholic Church hurt you. They shouldn't have hurt you like that. Please, let me apologize to you on their behalf. All of a sudden, the guy went to yell at me again, and he stopped in his tracks. And he said, oh, thank you. That's what I needed. And he just needed an apology, you know, because he was hurt. And responding with that gentleness really, I feel like, takes away the other person's anger, or at least makes you look better.
That's a great example. Because, not everybody has intellectual difficulties, but sometimes it's just personal hurts, you know, things that have happened in their past that have, they've been struggling with ever since they've been harmed in some way. And, I've done that as well, where I just apologized. And it takes all the emotion out, and then you can start really making progress, right? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I was just going to tell one quick story about three Mormons who came over to my house, and they were yelling and screaming, and they were upset. They were like, I would never join the Catholic Church because the Catholic Church had the Crusades. The Catholic Church had three popes at one time. They had the Inquisition. They killed millions of people. And I said, whoa, okay, those are really good objections. I didn't get offended at it. I just said, let's talk about them. Which one would you like to talk about first? And so they said, the Crusades. And so I said, okay, let's talk about the Crusades. I said, what year did they happen? And all of a sudden, they just stopped and looked at each other and shrugged their shoulders. I said, oh, you don't know. Okay, what was the name of the Pope during the First Crusade? And again, they just looked at each other. And I started asking them all of these questions, and they quickly realized that they hated something that they knew nothing about. They had just heard of all these atrocities that the Catholic Church did, but they had never actually researched it themselves. So when I clarified about what really happened, they were much more open to what the truth really was.
Yeah, wow, that's fantastic. I mean, that just shows the power of asking questions. And you're right, a lot of it is just myths that they just kind of inherited, that people have told them and they just assumed it's true. But they never looked into the details as to whether what they received actually corresponds to reality. Yeah, that's very good. What do you got next on your list?
Well, I think one of the most important things for the don'ts is don't do the impossible. Do what you can. I think some people, you know, try to bite off more than they can chew sometimes. But I think it really depends on the situation. So, for example, evangelize in the ways that you can. If someone asks you what you did for the weekend, don't tell them that you just went fishing. You know, mention that, oh, I went to a Bible study Friday night. I went fishing Saturday. I went to church on Sunday. And then, you know what, I just relaxed for the rest of the afternoon after that. You're not preaching to them. You're not evangelizing them, but you're also not hiding your faith. So I would say don't hide your faith first. You know, be bold, be courageous. Don't be afraid of being Catholic. But also don't try and take on the world either. There's some people that you can just never get through to. No matter how much you answer their questions, they're just going to yell and scream at you. So don't be a doormat. You know when to discuss with people and know when to walk away. I think that's a really important thing. And if people do get emotional, don't fight fire with fire. Just smile. Just be loving. I remember I actually got into a discussion when I used to do street evangelization. And we used to go into Boston every Saturday into the Boston Commons, and we had signs and megaphones, and we used to evangelize. Well, one time, our seven Catholic missionaries ourselves came across seven Mormon missionaries, and it was almost like Braveheart lining up from across the square. We each noticed each other and immediately started walking toward each other. And I was like, oh man. And, I don't know why, but I felt like in my heart, the Holy Spirit was saying, don't preach to them. Just share with them your story. Just tell them about me. And so me and two other Mormon missionaries had a great discussion, whereas the other people started slinging Bible, Book of Mormon verses, and the Catholic missionaries were slinging Bible verses, and they were all in a circle going at it. And I just said, can I tell you about Jesus? And then you can share with me about Jesus. And we had this great, wonderful discussion. And at the end of it, the Mormons came up to me and they said, you know what? You're the first really nice Catholic we've ever met. I was like, wow, that's sad on one hand.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I was able to share my testimony of Jesus and how much I love Jesus and how much he's changed my life with them. And I think that's really important, is that we don't always have to say something. It's the way we say it, and it's how we say it.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, you made a really good point, too, that we shouldn't hide our Catholicism. I think people make sometimes, especially those who are really zealous for the faith, will make the opposite mistake of, what'd you do this weekend? Well, you know, I said I prayed a rosary. And then they announced all the Catholic things with the mass, did devotions, did this, that. And it just, the other person doesn't know where to go because the conversation ends. They have nothing in common with what you just said. Mm-hmm. And it also kind of make it look peculiar, you know, as if, wow, this guy's kind of strange, you know. But if you just describe, you know, I went to church and I went fishing and it's just part of normal life, you know, I think that is in itself much more attractive, and it gives more opportunity for them to relate to you, you know, that, hey, you know, Catholicism really isn't weird. This guy sounds like a pretty decent weekend, you know.
Exactly. He went to the movies. He went fishing. He watched Netflix and he went to church. Huh. And I think that is fishing in itself, because you're not beating someone over their head. You're just throwing the lure out into the water to see if a fish will bite. So by telling people you go to church, by telling people you the next week, oh, I did a rosary. I went to a Bible study group. They may choose to ignore that. Or they may say, really, you go to church? What church do you go to? And there's a conversation started. It's not a debate. It's not an in-your-face yell at each other. It's just a friendly conversation that you started, which is exactly what evangelization should be. Or they may say, oh, you go to a Bible study? What religion are you? Catholic. Wait, Catholics don't believe in the Bible. And to which you could respond, wait, why not? You know, and then you have your discussion started. And I think that's a great way to evangelize. I worked in restaurants for many, many years, and I always mentioned these little things. And people would come up and they would take little pot shots at me and they would try to make fun of my religion. But I never backed down, and I always told them with joy. And at the end of it, every single person in the restaurant, always, no matter who they were, that at some point they would always come up to me with religious questions or with struggles that they were having in life. And they would ask me about these deep things because they knew that I had something which they did not. And they would come to me, and I got to share and evangelize my faith with them. And it was great. And it wasn't beating them over the head. It was just being friendly and not being afraid to say that I love Jesus or that I go to church.
Yeah, beautiful. We're talking with Master Apologist Brian Mercer on the 10 Do's and Don'ts of Evangelism. More to come on the other side of the break, so stay tuned, folks.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference, or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith, because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Gary.
And welcome back, everybody. We're talking about the do's and don'ts of evangelism with Master Apologist Brian Mercer, or better what, otherwise known as Catholic Brian. And by the way, you know what? That whole image of the Braveheart confrontation is burned into my mind. I'm going to be chuckling about that for next week or so. Brian, all the times I've talked to Mormons, I've had people be persnickety or dismissive, but I don't think I actually had somebody that was angry.
Mormons?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Mormons are generally very nice, very gentle, and they'll take as much as you give them, and they'll generally not give back. Right. But, in a couple of cases, their faith was shaken in our conversations to a point where they ended up getting defensive and lashing out. In a kind of a way that they probably normally wouldn't. And I actually, on my YouTube channel, I never thought this video would get popular. I never expected more than 30 people to see it. Otherwise, I probably would have had a better tone when I made the video in the beginning, early days of my YouTube. But now it has about 200,000 views, and it's called 10 Things That Mormons Won't Tell You. And that is just replete with Mormons yelling at me, screaming at me, calling me names, condemning me, and things that you wouldn't normally see from Mormons. But when they get shaken or, fearful that their religion might be wrong, they definitely seem to lash out, or they have that potential.
Yeah, it's just part of human nature, you get defensive when, you can't answer things, or perhaps it just seems the person's attacking you needlessly or whatever. I mean, it's just, they're human, just like us.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, okay.
And I don't know if you know this. Oh,
yes.
Sorry.
No, go ahead, please.
I was going to say, I don't know if you know this, but it's a little known fact that I don't know if it's the majority, but it's definitely more than half of all Mormon missionaries become agnostic after their missions. A lot of them enter into a period of agnosticism or even atheism because the Mormon faith is a religion that really just is hard to back up through facts with the Bible and with history. So a lot of them end up losing their faith, and it's a big struggle in their life.
I didn't know that. That's interesting. Let's move on. What other things should we try to refrain from or do when we evangelize?
Sure. I have one more on the don't list, and then let's get to the do's.
Okay.
Don't rely on yourself. Don't do it. Everything in evangelization, everything in sharing the faith, everything in bringing Jesus to people is dependent on God. So it's so important that, and this is one of the do's, it's so important that you pray. Pray a lot for the people that you talk to. Pray a lot for the people that you will evangelize in the future, or maybe you have in the past, because God is the one who does all the heavy lifting. God is the one who changes minds and moves hearts. He's the one who will bring people into the church, not us. All we do is plant seeds. All we do is point our fingers to the light coming through the stained glass windows. And we're saying, look, check that out. It's beautiful. This is what I have for you. So when we evangelize, or when we answer people's questions, or when we share our faith, all we're doing is planting seeds. that will be watered later on, because they're going to meet other people who will continue to water those seeds or grow those seeds. But it's not on us. If we happen to bring somebody into the church, if we happen to be lucky enough to be the reason for someone's conversion, it's not us. They've probably met many people before us who have had conversations with them, who've answered their questions. They've had other circumstances that might have moved them in this direction. So we can't rely on ourselves. It really depends on God, and it's really all about Him. So pray a lot for Him, for yourself, and for all the people that you talk to. I think that's an important one.
Oh, amen. Yeah, I mean, we're in sales. God's in management. You know, conversion is His deal. We're just called to be faithful, and you're right, by prayer, you know, by having a prayerful life, praying for others, asking God to bring others to you, for asking God to direct your words and your actions. I mean, that's really what counts. It's not anything that we do.
Absolutely, and I always pray. I say, God, you know, if you want me to speak to somebody, bring them into my path. Help a conversation to open up. And I even prayed this. I pray this all the time. I used to pray it daily. But I prayed it recently. I remember at Thanksgiving. And I was going to a house where a lot of people probably don't practice the faith at all. And I said, that doesn't matter, God. If you want someone to speak to me, open up a conversation about it. You know, help it to happen. And I remember I got into about a half an hour, 40-minute conversation about God, about His existence, about science and religion. And the unexpected happened. God opened up a conversation, and I ended up giving them a copy of my book after, which they said they would read. And you just never know what's going to happen after that. So I think prayer is a good thing.
Very good.
I think in addition to that, the next best thing is studying. If we ever want to share our faith, or if we're overly afraid of even bringing it up because we don't know what to say, or we're afraid we're going to get made fun of, like in the workplace, if somebody says something, sure, some workplaces aren't for talking about religion. But if a person's bringing up religion and nobody says anything, then apparently it's an okay place to do it. And it's not bad to respond to that person, even if it's the next day. You're like, oh, I should have said something. The next day, you think about what you can say, and you come back the next day and you say, you know what? I was thinking about what you said yesterday. You made an interesting point, but I thought about it overnight. And, you know, I wonder if you've ever considered this aspect of it. I'm a Catholic, and here's what I think. And then you share it with them. But you can't do this unless you know your own faith. So I want to challenge people to really study their faith. Read a book each week. Read or watch YouTube videos each week on the Catholic faith. Listen to podcasts. Read blogs. I mean, I specifically have a Learn Your Faith folder on my YouTube channel, which is meant to teach Catholics their faith and show them how to share it with others. Because unless we know it, you can't give what you don't have.
Right. Yeah, very good point. Excellent. So prayer, study, know your faith so you have something to talk about, and you know, you can explain the faith competently. What else should we do when we evangelize?
Well, once you start evangelizing, I think it's important to do a couple things. Number one, find common ground. What do you guys have in common? If you're going to start out arguing or discussing and debating, step back. And I've done this. I've had people start yelling at me right away once they found I'm Catholic. And I said, hey, could you at least first ask me how I'm doing? You know, could we discuss the things that we have in common first, and then we'll get to the differences? And they say, oh, yeah, we could do that. And so it really helps to find common ground, because it starts a good conversation rather than a potential argument instead. And with this being said, I think we need to love people. We need to desire to have people come to Jesus. And we even might need to pray for this desire. But just arguing with the people, like so many radical traditionalists are doing online, that's just arguing. And that's not love. When you love someone, you desire their soul. You fear that they're going to lose it. It hurts you that they've been lied to. And once you have this love and this compassion in your heart, you know you're on the right track for being a professional evangelist, or even a correct evangelist. All evangelism, all sharing of the faith, all answering questions should come from a great love in our heart and a desire to have them know Jesus. It's like seeing the best movie of your life. What do? Do you go home to your room and tell nobody? Of course not. You go tell everybody that this was the best movie ever and you need to go see it now. Same thing with your favorite book. Same thing with your favorite restaurant. If you try to a restaurant that's phenomenal, you want to tell people about it. And it's the same thing with evangelization. If we love Jesus and he's important to us, we're going to want to share him and tell everyone about that. And so for that reason, here are a couple tips that you can use in doing so. Number one, the first thing is to try to understand where other people are coming from who disagree with us. Why do they think the way they do? And it's important when you're listening to them not to think of arguments in your head while they're talking. Just try to understand them, not just listening with your ears, but this is important, listening with your heart. Because a lot of the arguments that they give are not the real arguments. I debated with an atheist for an hour and a half, and I gave him clear answers as to why God exists. And after the hour and a half, he says this. He said, "Brian, you want to know my real problem with God and religion? For me, that's like a megaphone. That's like a bomb dropping. This is the real reason. This is like he's been giving me all the branches of a tree reasons, and now I'm finally at the root of his atheism." And so if you can figure out where a person's coming from and why they actually believe what they believe, it's going to be more, it's going to be easier to reach them where they're at and to make a difference in their lives. Now, I've had people yell at me about the Crusades and the Inquisition and this and that, and I give them all arguments, and it just falls on deaf ears. And then I find out that it could be a number of things, but recently it was someone who said they're gay and they hate all the teachings of the Catholic Church because the Catholic Church hates gays. And so I said, oh, no wonder. So none of these other arguments were actual arguments that you really cared about. They were just excuses for this one that you have a problem with. And once you get to the root of that, then you can deal with that. Well, did you know that the last two popes have written encyclicals about homosexuality? And they've said, we're called to respect homosexuals. We're not called to bully them. We're called to love them and this and that and this and that. And you share that with them. And a lot of people say, oh, I didn't know that. And so, yeah. So I think it's really important to listen and understand where a person is coming from and try to answer that, not just their base shallow arguments.
Yeah, so never treat them like objects. Treat them as human beings made in the image and likeness of God, basically.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I
can't believe, but the hour has just flown. We're already at the end of the program. Brian, where can people get a hold of your stuff?
They can find me on my website, which is CatholicBrian.org, B-R-Y-A-N, or they can just look up Catholic Brian and they'll find my YouTube channel, my blog, my Twitter, my social media, Catholic Brian, B-R-Y-A-N.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for coming on the program. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. God bless you.
And you too. That is Catholic Brian. Yeah, check out his stuff. Really good material, great YouTube videos, and talk about great stuff. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to have Anthony Digman join us on the show along with Thursday, Mark McNeil, and then Friday, Teresa Beam. Lots of really interesting discussions in store for us. Man, it's already time to shut down the Midwest Command Center and turn off the dojo lights. Can't believe it. Fastest hour in Catholic radio. Coming up next, high-intensity Catholic talk. It's the Terry and Jesse Show. Don't want to miss it. And I wish everybody have a great day. God willing, we'll talk again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
In the 1990s, I lived and worked in Hollywood. But when my wife Betty's mom took ill, we relocated to Orange County. And it was during this time in our lives that I converted to Catholicism. Once my eyes were opened to the truth, I couldn't learn enough about the faith. But I had less free time than ever, especially with a long commute. That's when I discovered the real value of Catholic audio. Listening to cassette tapes transformed my daily commute into a miniature retreat. And that's the beauty of Virgin Most Powerful Radio today. Since the podcasts are archived, you can listen anytime on our smartphone app. I know how listening to Catholic audio can bring you closer to Christ and His Church. So I encourage you to visit the App Store or go to vmpr.org and download the app today. It just might change your life.
I'm Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.